If you take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Galatians.
You can stand. Brother Frankie is standing.
Let's read together the first seven verses here of Galatians chapter 1. Ready? Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ.
The Apostle Paul writing here to the churches of Galatia, and this is an area of Asia Minor. Brother Michael, I think, was it last year or maybe year before, you preached out of Galatians, didn't you? A time or two? There he is. You don't remember? Okay, well, I thought you did. You probably did, yeah. Either you or somebody else. Somebody's preached out of Galatians at some point in time, I'm sure. And so that I am absolutely sure of. But the Apostle Paul writing here, and please remember, this group of churches, this area, was very special to Paul. And so we have a little bit about the writings here to this area around 56 A.D. or so. We know that the Apostle Paul is the author because he told us he was. And around this time. But this book of Galatians is a what we call a critical book in the New Testament. Right? It's important because of the emphasis on faith and not works that is given in the book of Galatians. Just take a look very quickly here at what Paul presents here in verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Okay, so he's saying, hey, I'm surprised at this. This is something that I thought we had settled. This is something that I thought was solid in you. And he said, I'm marveling here about this. Now, who were the Galatians? Well, the Galatians were Christians made up of Greeks and Jews who lived in the flourishing cities situated in this southern area of Asia Minor. Some of the prominent cities were Pisidian, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe. This is the area of modern-day south-central Turkey. Okay? Speaking of turkeys, right? You know, it's pick on Ethan night. Did you all know that was pick on Ethan night? This is the last Sunday he'll be with us for a while, so we have to get all our shots in at once, okay? Mine doesn't. I don't think I've ever had a gun go click before. So, just you. anyways, that's another subject for another day. South Central Turkey. They had this problem because this group of people came in undermining the teachings and preachings of Paul and what he was trying to accomplish throughout these churches. They were called Judaizers. Now, how many of you heard that term before, right? Judaizers, all right? Now, these people, they were Jews who embraced a form of Christianity, yet they mutated the gospel by adding works to salvation, okay? So, in other words, they didn't, if you will, change the gospel. They just said, oh, that gospel that Paul taught, that's good, but did he tell you about this? And they're like, oh no, he didn't tell us about that. Well, you need to do this too, otherwise you're not really saved. Okay, that's how they went about it. Okay, So they didn't just come in and just say, oh, that Paul, he didn't know what he's talking about. What he said was totally false. No, they actually and probably embraced what Paul had to say, but then said, well, he just didn't tell you all that you needed to know. And listen, that's what these kinds of people do. They come in, if you will, and remember, we just were warned about this in 2 Timothy, that these people are heaping to themselves teachers, having itching ears. In other words, they're wanting to know some new thing. They're trying to draw some new thing. So these people that come in, they say, well, you know, yeah, salvation, believing in Christ, that's all important. But you've got to give your tithes and offerings. You've got to be baptized. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And they just start adding all these other things. And pretty soon salvation isn't salvation anymore. It's morphed into something else. And that's what we've got to be careful of. Now, these Judaizers, they did this. They believed that in order for a Gentile specifically, because here's the thing that's another thing, is that they usually only did this to the Gentile believers because the Jews would already be practicing the things of the law. Or at least know to practice the things of the law. Okay? But they would usually do this to the Gentile believers, that in order to become a Christian, they must also meet the requirements of the Jewish laws. Okay? So they were adding to this. They were saying, okay, you know what? For us Jews to become saved, we just need to believe because we're already practicing the Jewish laws. But for you Gentiles to believe, you have no idea about the sacrifices and the thises and the thats and the different things of the Sabbath and the different things about clean and unclean foods and all this. So in order to really be saved, you've got to embrace all the things that God gave to the Jews and the grace that God gave through Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? That's what these people do. By the way, can I just tell you something? That idea is not dead. You see, this is way back in 56 AD when Paul is writing this. Surely that's been debunked and that's been rooted out of this world. No, it's alive and well. I know someone who has recently fallen into that trap. And it's ruining their life. Can I just tell you something? It's still alive and well today. And so we've got to be careful that we are not adding anything to salvation. Remember, salvation is of no merit. In other words, you can't be too bad that you can't be saved, and you can't be too good that you don't need to be saved. Okay? It's of no merit. You, if you will, you have nothing to do with salvation. You say, what do you mean? Well, as far as doing, action, all right? All you have to do is come to Christ. Okay? So we need to realize that there is no works, if you will, that need to be done in order to be saved. Okay? And so these Judaizers, they were trying to make these Gentile Christians meet the requirements of the Jewish religion. They promoted Christianity, if you will, and they used it as a cloak to come in behind the Apostle Paul and his team of workers and undermine them and make proselytes or converts into Judaism. That's what they were trying to do, okay? And they were using what Paul was doing and coming in behind them. So he calls them false brethren in Galatians 2:4. And he writes to the Philippians about the same Judaizers. And he calls them dogs and evil workers in Philippians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Now, the objective of the Judaizers was twofold. They wished to undermine the confidence of Paul because he's a traitor, right? He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and now he no longer is doing so. He's now preaching Christ. And they wanted to subvert Paul's teachings as they went along the way. They were subtle. They were there to unsettle the churches and quench the spreading of the faith from town to town and place to place. Now, they made it their business to go about and cause trouble within the Gentile churches. Let me just stop here and say this about the local church today. That's one of the jobs of the pastor, is to be a watchdog, if you will, to be a shepherd that's watching out for the flock, looking for people who might want to come in and unsettle you. Listen, God wants us to be settled. And that's why I constantly reaffirm to you and constantly say that this book is the final authority of all matters of faith and practice. And like Paul told Timothy, knowing of whom thou hast heard them, remember that? All those things. Folks, there are things that we can be sure of, and that's the Word of God. We're going to, at the end of the sermon today, tonight, we're going to look at two particular sermons that were preached. And then as we go along in this, we're going to go back and look at what Jesus preached while he was here. You know why? Because those are our examples of what doctrine is right, of what way of salvation is right. Because guess what? Paul never taught that works was part of salvation. Peter never preached and taught that works was part of salvation. And Jesus never did either. So why would these guys be okay saying that it was? Well, it wasn't. They were adding to something that they had no business adding to. So Paul got wind of this, and he writes to the churches of Galatia in this area of the world where he had set up churches in these towns, and he wrote to them to refute the lies of the Judaizers and to reground these new Christians in their faith and in the grace of God. Okay, so he was playing electrician. He was reestablishing the ground wire. Okay, so that these new Christians could be rooted and grounded in the truth. You know what? It's a good idea to check our connection. You know, sometimes as a connection ages. I remember gentlemen, I think I told you about this when I first got here to the church, because I had dealt with it at Trinity. We had an analog soundboard. Actually, I think it's still up there in the sound room there. And one of the things that I was taught is that every once in a while, you got to take, because it's analog, solid state electronics, you got to take the slides, and you got to run them up and down, because if they sit stagnant, microscopic corrosion builds up on the contacts. And you can't even see it with the naked eye, but it causes static in the sound and in the channels and things like that. So you just got to run those things up and down about 10 or 15 times and just clean that one. Now that one was like a 90 channel thing. So I was like, so it was a lot of work. And then if you go back and look at the soundboard on this one, looks like there's a lot of knobs and things. That one was this big from here to here. Think of all the knobs that one had. Yeah, a lot more. And so every little potentiometer, twist, 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 twist. And every once in a while, every little button, push, 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 push. Yeah, just makes me tired thinking about it. Up, down, 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 up, down. It's great exercise to do during the preaching, you know, because you got nothing else to do. You're not listening to him anyway, so just up, down, up, down. Just don't do it to the channel that he's on. You know, to make the preacher sound all funny. But thank you. Those connections need to be checked. You know, sometimes, listen, and I'm not accusing anyone here of this, but sometimes we get into church and we end up coming and sitting in a pew and that connection gets a little stagnant. Some micro corrosion gets built up on that, and we maybe pick up something from here and pick up something from there. And we need to get that thing shaken off a little bit. We need to get that thing run up and down so that the corrosion gets broken off. And they're like, oh, you know what? No, that was a silly thought because this is what the scripture says. And we got to reestablish that connection and rub those things together, get a little friction in there to renew the connection that we have. So it's important for us. Paul was doing that for the church. So, ladies and gentlemen, in a year of so much the more, we need to kind of reestablish some things and work that connection that we have with the scriptures so that we don't lose any productivity. And so God wants us to continue to study, to continue to review these things. Now, just very quickly, we're just going to get through the first couple of verses here. But Paul explains his title. And I love the Apostle Paul's title that he talks about here. We're going to look at this really quick, very quickly. Paul, an apostle, and I love what he says here, not of men. He says, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ. Now, I think right out of the gate, Paul is establishing his credibility that it's not about what men have decided or what men have chosen, but rather what God has chosen. Now think about how this helps bolster his defense of the faith. These men, these Judaizers, are coming in and saying that you have to do these physical things or these earthly things in order to have something divine. You see what I'm saying? It, folks, salvation is not of men. It's not of the church. It's not of religion. It's not of man. It's of God. Just like Paul's apostleship was of God. How would you like to be brought into the ministry by getting kicked off your beast of burden, blinded, and put in amazement? As I like to quote someone who's probably watching tonight, boy howdy. Hello. And I know that you and I both would do the same thing that Paul did. Lord, what would thou have me to do? I'm all ears. Huh? Yeah. I'm telling you. Folks, salvation is of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. These men are coming in, and by the way, these Judaizers, they thought they were something special. Because not only had they trusted Christ, but they also were following the law. Because they were better. Oh, you poor Gentiles, you just don't know any better. See the condescending spirit and attitude that they had toward these people? So Paul, right out of the gate, he is defending everything, not just his apostleship, but the whole basis of what and why he was going to say what he was going to say. He said, not by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Go back to Acts chapter 9. We see Paul's conversion and what happened to him. Here in verse 4, it says, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, over here, flip over just a little bit here, and look at... look at verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues. I mean, he jumped into this thing right away. We know that these types of things, all these happened, and then later on, we know that Paul went out there to the wilderness there and was basically went to Bible college. That was his Bible college, spending time with the Lord. But he explains back in Galatians now. He explains that that this was not any man's doing. This was not the apostles in Jerusalem choosing lots to see who's going to replace Judas. This was not about what man decided. This is what God decided. Just like the Judaizers had decided that works added to salvation was necessary, but that's not what God had said. That's not what God had put forth. Same thing. Look at verse 2. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So not only is he saying that this is not about what men want, it's what God wants, just like my apostleship. He said, but there are a host of others with me. Okay? Go to Hebrews chapter 12. What is he saying? By the way, we're just gonna, for my sake, call it Paul writing here, or the author unknown. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with what? So great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He's saying, look, I'm not alone in this. I am not by myself. He said, there are also brethren which are with me, and it's to you churches. This is a camaraderie. This is a group thing, if you will. As I've been talking to individuals about this particular thing in our world today, I ask them a question. I say, look, if this is such a new and great thing that you have found a better way to follow the way of Christ, then why have the churches since the time of Christ until now all been wrong? How come there are so many thousands and millions of believers that have come before us that are so wrong on this idea? That we do need to follow the law. We do need to abstain from eating unclean meats and we do need to celebrate the different festivals and holidays and Sabbaths and all these. So how can so many Christians be wrong? And so many preachers and so many churches, and how is that possible? And Paul is saying the exact same thing. So this is not of men, this is of God. And this is not, I'm not standing on an island shouting this out all by myself. There's a multitude of people also shouting this out as well with me. He goes on to say in verse 3, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this was a common greeting that Paul used throughout his letters because what is he trying to emphasize? Grace and peace. What are the Judaizers emphasizing? Constriction and law, right? And works. You have to. You must, right? All these things. They're, and what are they coming in to do? Cause strife. Cause conflict. Cause upheaval. They're trying to. By the way, we're going to look at this word. Probably not tonight, but the word that he uses, pervert. Pervert the God. That means to turn upside down or to turn away or to turn from one thing to another. We're going to look how Luke uses this word later on. But they're not, this is not about peace. This is not about grace. So he emphasizes the grace of God. I love the title. If you've read the book, I would encourage you to, if you haven't read the book, I would encourage you to read it. But Dr. Smith's book of Grace Heaped Upon Grace. You know, folks, it's by the grace of God. Ephesians 2, 8, 9. You all know it, don't you? Right? For by? Are you saved through? And that not of yourselves, it is the? Yeah, not of works, right? So, that's right, Jeremiah. He knows the verse. Hallelujah. I love that. And then it goes on in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created unto, right, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in, but not for salvation. Because we're his people, we're his children. And so Paul says, he simply emphasizes that grace and peace, and as he says, it's not from me, it's from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul even takes himself out of this, if you will. He says, look, my apostleship is not about me. I didn't choose this. Peter didn't choose this. The church in Jerusalem didn't choose this. God is the one that kicked me off my beast and got me right. God's the one that sent me. God's the one that has grace for you. God is the one that wants you to have peace. This is not about Paul. This is about God. So he sets that straight very clearly at the very beginning. Now, this is not written, if you will, to a universal body, but it is written to local churches. But it is for us today because this same battle is happening today. Same battle. There are churches that are trying to compromise and try to add to salvation. And listen, some people are trying to take away from salvation. But we know that we're not supposed to add to or take away from anything that's in the book. Let God be true and every man a liar, right? And that's what Paul starts out with right away. Now, Paul begins by informing the Galatians that the grace of God is what produces peace in the heart of sinful man. You understand that if it wasn't for the grace of God, we would not have salvation. Okay? It is God's grace, and that's by the way, if you don't have salvation, you won't have peace. You won't. Because think about before you were saved. What was prevalent in your life? Unpeacefulness, right? You were unsettled because you didn't have salvation. And you tried to fill it with everything else that the world offers, and nothing could fill that void. When Christ came in, he made you whole. He made you complete. And that brings peace. Peace. And guess what? Let me just further illustrate. That's why, Christian, when you enter back into bondage, you break that peace. Why? Because you've broken fellowship. How do you get your peace back? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We restore that fellowship. We restore that peace. So you understand that Paul is trying to help them understand that the law does not offer peace, only fear and condemnation. Now we're going to get with this whole bunch more to unpack here. I hope you understand that these six chapters are packed full. I probably could preach for 10 years on this subject. I'm not going to. I'm only 9 and a half. But if I do that, you'll probably get rid of me, I'm sure. But no, we're not going to take that long. But I'm just telling you how rich the book of Galatians is. Okay? And I literally can go on and on and on about that. But Paul brings to their attention that all of this is resting. His apostleship and his message that he has is resting upon God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So he said that now twice. By Jesus Christ and God the Father, verse 1. And then verse 3, God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So we have that two times already in just three verses. Now, all praise and glory belongs to Christ. All praise and glory belongs to God. He is the giver of salvation. He's the giver of his word. He's the giver of the message. He's the giver of all things. It is not up to man. It is up to God. So Paul is just trying to establish. He's just trying to run those races up and down to clean off the rust, to clean off clean up the connection, to get these Christians back on track. He's saying, hey, we got to reestablish some things here, that this is about God, not about this religion. and not about these men that are coming in to subvert you. So he's reestablishing the connection. Now, look what it says here in verse 4. Who gave himself, this is speaking of Christ, for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Now, what were the Judaizers trying to do to the Christians in Galatia? They were trying to drag them back into the world. Okay? So he very clearly and eloquently clarifies that Jesus Christ gave himself, that Jesus Christ was the deliverer, and he wants to deliver us from this evil world. And then he, of course, so very correctly attaches that this is the will of God and our Father. So, remember, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So you understand that, and then all through Jesus' ministry, what did Jesus preach and teach? I'm the Son, he's the Father. It's his work, I'm supposed to do it. I love my Father, I honor my Father. I mean, just over and over and over and over again. So Paul understands this principle. And he's trying to help these baby Christians, these new churches, be rooted and grounded in the truth that these things have to do with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 5. He says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so what a great start. Okay, if you wanted to start a letter to a floundering flock. Hey, there you go. Alliterated there, right? This is the start that you would want to have. Now, listen, we know the Holy Spirit of God, right? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, right? We understand that. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God knows exactly what these Christians need. And Paul was the exact tool that they needed. Now, listen, Paul was not of the same personality type that Peter was. Paul and Peter, two different guys. You understand that, right? But God knew that the Galatians needed this coming from Paul. But can I tell you something? Peter preached the same message. And let's look at these as we close tonight. Just take a quick glimpse at these messages. First, let's go to Paul in Acts 26. We already read Acts 9. The actual account of Paul's conversion. Go to Acts 26. I love this passage. And then we'll get to Peter over in Acts chapter 2. Acts 26. And we're gonna get into this in a greater detail. But look at Paul before Agrippa. And look at verse 13. He says, at midday, O king, I saw on the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them, to change their mind, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Okay? And I love what Paul's answer is, or what Paul says about this. He says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. He said, I went and did what I was supposed to do, that God told me to do. Now go to Acts chapter 2, and we'll look at Peter, and we'll be done tonight. Acts chapter 2, this day of Pentecost, Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. They go out into the city there. And let's take a look at, I don't have time to go through all of it, but let's look at verse 37. Before this, Peter doesn't pull any punches. He preaches to them the gospel. He talks about Christ. He talks about what God had given. And by the way, who's he speaking to mostly here? To Jews. And he's telling them, look, the law doesn't work. Jesus Christ has come to fulfill the law. It's not about the law, it's about faith. He says, now when they heard this, look at verse 37, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So they understood. They were convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God was preaching, if you will, through Peter and to these people. And they were pricked in their heart and they were turned to the gospel. Peter says, repent. Guess what that word means? To turn. Let me just ask you a question. Why would a Jew need to turn from what he was doing if it was good enough for salvation? Was it? It wasn't good enough. The law was a schoolmaster. We're taught that later on. We understand that. And listen, if following the law and keeping the Sabbath and doing all these things were part of salvation, why would he say, turn from it? Why? He wouldn't. He'd say, now listen, men and brethren, you have the law and the prophets, you followed them, now add to it faith in Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. Wouldn't that have been the message? That would have been the message. Because the Judaizers say, look, hey, Paul told you Gentiles all about Jesus, but he forgot to tell you about the law and the importance of it. By the way, Paul, the Pharisee Paul, forgot to tell them about the law. Right. Not true. No. Did Peter say that, everybody? Are you looking here in Acts chapter 2? Did he say? No, he said, repent. He said, turn from it unto Christ. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. What happened? That same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And listen to this. They continue steadfastly in the Judaizers' doctrine and fellowship and learning about the law and learning... Huh? No? That's not what it says? No, what does it say? It says that they that gladly received his word, they were baptized, same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. By the way, what doctrine was the apostles' doctrine? It was the doctrine that Jesus Christ gave them. What did he say in Matthew 28? Teaching them all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. You understand, folks, that this is passed on. And Saul also took this up. And he's trying to help these Galatians. And that's why he says, and we're going to close here. He said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. He said, I thought I did a good enough job teaching you, but I guess I didn't. He said, folks, this is not about works. This is not about keeping the law. You're not Jews. And God, and if you will, God doesn't want you to be Jews. He wants you to be born again. He said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. And by the way, is trouble the opposite of peace? Yeah. And would pervert the gospel of Christ. So as we get into this book of Galatians, I think you're going to enjoy it. I'm excited about it. I hope that you are as well. But it just take this as an opportunity to get that microscopic corrosion off of you as you warm up that connection between you and God this new year.